Hello, everybody, and welcome back, probably, to Turning Towards Life, or if you are brand new here, a very warm, brand new welcome to you. We are in our 401st week of Turning Towards Life. We celebrated 400 episodes last week, which was really wonderful and joyful, and actual humans joined us from our wonderful Turning Towards Life community. So if you were there, thank you for being there. It was so moving to be with you and to know what Turning Towards Life means to you. We did this really sweet thing where we asked people to check in with what Turning Towards Life means in their life, and we got to hear some real things about what it's like to be a person that listens to Turning Towards Life each week, sometimes sporadically, and it was really lovely. So I am Justin, and I said beforehand, didn't we, Justin, if it was anything, it was just to give us a little bit more fuel for our fire to actually meet people. And it did. I feel very fueled in my fire for Turning Towards Life. And I love how it's spreading around the world between people in a very robust and straightforward human to human normal way. So we're really happy about that. We have our new source here from Justin, who clearly you've been in reading relationship with Eugene Gendlin, Justin, and what an amazing source to bring. I'm so glad that we have this huge, big range of sources, and so glad that they resonate with both of us, Justin, every single time, and that they seem to be serving people. It's what we heard last week. So I'm really grateful for this source. I'm grateful to be here with you, Justin, and to be carrying on with this wonderful every week thing that we have.
Thank you, Liz. It's so good to be back. I've got a couple of thoughts from what you've said. So first of all, is there are, when we finish this, there'll be 401 conversations on the podcast and on the website. But as you say, there will also be 401 sources. And even if, for any of you who are listening, even if you don't ever listen to the conversation that goes with the source, you might find the source of value, and you can go to turningtowards.life. And you can search there for things and find this giant repository. It's big now, Lizzie. And we have rarely repeated ourselves once or twice, including last week, very deliberately. And we have also, although we have some authors, some writers and poets whose work we have loved, who we have brought a number of times, there's no one that we've brought has dominated this body of work. It's really broad and wide and deep, these sources. So I want to extol the virtue of the Turning Towards Life website for the resource that it's becoming. Actually, it's quite an amazing thing. And also say that there you can support us. You can buy us a cup of coffee if you wish, or support us more regularly. Also, you can sign up for the weekly emails. And a lot of people really benefit from getting the source each week. The weekly email always has the source in it. So you get an ongoing, expanding library of source material to draw upon. So, and the other thing you can do there is register your interest in our burgeoning Turning Towards Life program that we're going to be running, a live together on Zoom, which will run for 6 months, 6 month season starting in September. And Lizzie, I'm excited because you and I have been hatching plans for that this week. And I also just want to say thank you to all the people who came last week, because it was very, very precious to meet people in person, both people we know well, but including people who came who we've never met or spoken to before, who decided, which I always think is a very generous thing to do, to turn up. And that was just delicious. So thank you to all of you. And then thank you to all of you who are traveling alongside us, not coming to things, but just we're in your ears and in your hearts, and you're in our minds and hearts as well. So this source for this week, as always, we have a source, and it is from this marvelous, marvelous book that I want to recommend so strongly, this extraordinary little blue book. If you are watching on YouTube or on Turning Towards Life, you'll see me holding it up. It's called Focusing, How to Gain Direct Access to Your Body's Knowledge, and it's by Eugene Gendlin. And this is from there. If you are like almost everybody else, you undoubtedly know a good deal about what's wrong in your life. You may often lecture yourself, perhaps basing your lectures on sound inferences and assumptions. Or at other times you skip the sophisticated lecture and insult yourself roundly and simply instead. A kick is what you think you need. Not only do these lectures and self-castigations feel unpleasant, but they produce no useful change. You become something like two people, one in prison and the other outside. The outside person lectures or insults the one inside, cruelly listing all the alleged but usually unproven faults of character that have supposedly led to the prisoner's sorry plight. None of this helps the prisoner escape. When the lecture is over, the inner person is, as always, stuck. Instead of talking at yourself from the outside in, you could listen to what comes from you inside. You ask in a quiet, friendly, and sympathetic way, "What's wrong?" You may never before have been quite this friendly to yourself. Most people treat themselves very badly, much worse than they would ever think of treating another human being. Most people deal with their inside feeling person as a sadistic prison guard would. Now, having asked your body this question, what's really wrong, you deliberately refrain from answering it. When you ask another person a question, you don't go right on and answer the question yourself. Treat your own inside feeling person at least as well as you would someone else. Your inside feeling person too can answer and doesn't need you to do all the answering. Try to pass up all the glib, familiar answers that come very fast. They're the same old answers you've heard thousands of self-lectures down through the years. Firmly reject them. Wait quietly for fresh answers to come from the inside, from the bodily felt sense of whatever situation is troubling you.
Thank you, Justin. If you are like almost everybody else, you undoubtedly know a good deal about what is wrong in your life. You may often lecture yourself, perhaps basing your lectures on sound inferences and assumptions. Or at other times, you skip the sophisticated lecture and insult yourself roundly and simply instead. A kick is what you think you need. Not only do these lectures and self-castigations feel unpleasant, but they produce no useful change. You become something like two people, one in prison and the other outside. The outside person lectures or insults the one inside, crudely listing all the alleged but usually unproven faults of character that have supposedly led to the prisoner's sorry plight. None of this helps the prisoner escape. When the lecture is over, I think I'm going to sneeze. Sorry, no, I'm not. When the lecture is over, the inner person is, as always, stuck. Instead of talking at yourself from the outside in, you could listen to what comes from you inside. You ask in a quiet, friendly, and sympathetic way, "What's wrong?" You may never have before been quite this friendly to yourself. Most people treat themselves very badly, much worse than they would ever think of treating another human being. Most people deal with their inside feeling person as a sadistic prison guard would. Now, having asked your body this question, what is really wrong, you deliberately refrain from answering it. When you ask another person a question, you don't go right on and answer the question yourself. Treat your own inside feeling person at least as well as you would someone else. Your inside feeling person too can answer and doesn't need you to do all the answer. Try to pass up all the glib, familiar answers that come very fast. They are the same old answers you've heard in thousands of self-lectures down through the years. Firmly reject them. Wait quietly for fresh answers to come from the inside, from the bodily felt sense of whatever situation is troubling you.
Of the way Eugene Gendon writes, there's something so generous and sort of playful about it. And it was quite illuminating hearing you read, Lizzie. When I listened to you read, one of the first things I recognized is, oh my goodness, that feeling of something in me treating what Eugene calls the feeling inside person with such harshness and such criticism. Oh, it's so familiar. And I have much less of it now, like way, way less of it. But there was a point in my life when I remember being in my mid-30s and being caught in a terrible dark cloud. And what I was imagining, Lizzie, was that everyone was talking about me all the time. And I would hear people's criticisms of me. I would, even if I couldn't hear the conversation, I was sure I could hear the criticism. And it was a horrible time. And somebody said to me, "You have no idea how self-critical you are, do you?" And I was a little bit like, how dare you say that to me? And it can't possibly be true. But when I looked, one of the things that was revealed to me is that I had come to live in an inner world, very much like the one Eugene Genlin talks about. And because we can't see what we're living in the midst of, I thought it was the whole world.
Mm.
You know, everywhere I went, everyone was talking about me. So first of all, I just want to say how important it has been for me to see this, you know, have people point out what Eugene's pointing out to us, which is we can fall into this thing. He says those answers that we've had from the inside, they're probably the ones we've heard in thousands of self-lectures down through the years. And actually, we really need somebody to tell us this sometimes. Did you know what you're doing on the inside? In a way, I think what he's saying is that's not okay. You don't need to do that. Life doesn't need to be that way. But we don't know we're doing it. So we do need somebody to tell us sometimes, look at what's going on. So the second thing is that the idea that there might be something in me, what Eugene Genlin calls the inner feeling, the feeling person inside, that there might be a tender something in me that sort of is my life, that has something to say. And that if I'll give up lecturing it and cajoling it and trying to force it somewhere, and also if I'll give up, I thought this bit was genius because he says you can ask this something in you a question, and instead of I can't find the bit. Oh no, there it is. When you ask another person a question, you don't go right on and answer the question yourself. At least you don't if you're treating the other person well. And yet, I mean, I was thinking it was times I've done that, but it's actually totally revelatory to find out that if we'll quieten down enough inside and we'll back off all of this, I'll get my life in line by beating my by one part beating up this something. That what Eugene Genlin's whole book is about what will happen if we'll create the conditions where we can wait long enough for this one inside to say, here's what this is like, but also here's what I long for, but also here's what I can see is called for, and also here's the next step. It actually turns out that there is something in us that will answer that. And often in an incredibly life-giving way, even if it's only the tiniest step in moving towards something that's life-giving in our life after years of going round and round and round in the same thing. And it's revolutionary and revelatory to find out that this is what we are, that we are not just broken, failing, worthless, stupid, some things that need to be beaten up all the time. And not only are we not that, actually there's something extraordinarily, sacredly wise and alive inside us if we'll only pay attention. So I've practiced this for a long time, Lizzie, but I've really been practicing it recently getting really soft and really quiet inside. And I agree with Eugene Genlin. There's much to be said for what can be brought into light and into life from doing this.
Mm. So I'm There's so many things, as usual, in what you say, Justin, to respond to. And I think I'm going to do what Eugene is asking us to do and just feel in to the felt sense of this. And what my body is in right now is this kind of tension in the front of my rib cage about what it means that there's two of us and one of them, the outside one, is beating up the one on the inside. Somehow that's impacting me really significantly in my body, to feel that kind of war and that meanness and that fight on the inside, and how the outside person is filled with these opinions and really having a go at this softer one on the inside who's frightened and innocent, kind of thing. So I'm noticing how that feels in my body, and that's troubling me. I feel troubled by that dynamic that we have, this kind of inner place that gets such a hard time from the outer place. This is the structure that Eugene's giving us, and that a kick is what you need. That feeling so horrible and mean and unnecessary. In this moment, I'm seeing how unnecessary it is to be horrible to oneself. And as you say, there's so much more here. There's a place where fresh answers can come from, that's original, that's us, that's alive. And there's a self that is meant to be here and to live itself out and to express itself. And that we are the ones who are getting in the way of that is also very troubling to me as well. It feels really harsh and unjust and lacking in any kind of integrity in terms of allowing us to bloom and blossom and be who we were supposed to be by coming here in these human bodies. So I'm feeling the troublesomeness of it. And also realizing that these days, Justin, I don't feel very harsh towards myself. And I know that there have been times where I really, really have. But I also got really curious as you were reading, because I wonder also whether there's a kind of a place for this somehow in a constellation of people. And when people around me, I think I learned this thing really early on, that when someone's treating me badly, they're treating me like they're treating themselves. So this bit about where Eugene said, treat your own inside person as well as you would treat someone else. I mean, maybe you could say like a neighbor who you don't know very well, where your boundaries are really clear and you don't really get to be cross with them, kind of thing. But there are a lot of people a lot closer than that to one another, where we do treat each other terribly. And I think that's been one of my favorite learnings, has been, this might not be that there's anything wrong with me. It might be that someone's giving themselves such a hard time on the inside and talking to me like they talk to themselves. And therefore, maybe I'm not doing all the things wrong that I'm being told, but maybe this person is really in pain on the inside. And that this articulation of what's happening to them on the inside might be coming towards me for some reason, probably because we're close to one another, and probably because the boundaries have all got blurred because of intimacy and togetherness and familiarity, where we start treating each other like we treat ourselves. And then someone's inner world gets profoundly revealed because of how critical they are towards me, or how annoying I am, or whatever. And I feel like somehow over the years I've developed this way of making that discernment, so that I don't take on, I have quite enough voices on the inside of me anyway, but I really don't need to take on anyone else's voices that they got given as well. And so developing that capacity to be really clear about what's mine and what's yours, And so when you come at me with a kind of judgmental, critical something, I know whether that's my stuff or your stuff, and I don't necessarily have to take it seriously. I mean, sometimes you might be bringing me something really genuine, but the way you would bring that wouldn't be this stick beating of the inner person way. It would be different than that. If it really did belong to me, it would come in a way that was probably kind, actually, and probably quite warm and considered. It wouldn't be cold and harsh and mean. So I think it's a very big thing to, for me anyway, in my life, to have kind of learned to discern when something comes from someone's stick beating place towards me, or whether it's coming from a place of genuine giving me a gift kind of thing. So I do think there are times when I'm very polite to people, but it's mostly because I don't know them very well. And then I wonder about the other way around, where I'm not polite to people and I just say it like it is. And sometimes people get my inner stick beater both barrels, and I know that that's not who I want to be and how I want to live. And I need to take a hold of myself and stop, basically, and firmly reject them, not only towards myself, but towards other people. So as usual, this always was kind of where it comes to for me, Justin, is can I do this for myself, but can I do this in relationship with other people too? So can I get quiet, and instead of saying the thing I normally say to the people around me, maybe my bodily felt sense has a different thing to say to them, and or can feel into a different part of them than the way they're beating themselves up with their sticks. And I think that's the grand and beautiful mystery of all of this, is that it extends outwards and backwards and around the houses and all the things.
Mm. Yeah, I think that what I've been finding, Lizzie, is that there's something that Eugene Gendlin calls the inner feeling person, when we will ask the harsh, critical ones in us to soften back and just to step away a little bit, which is quite doable, actually. We've talked about this a lot, where we breathe ourselves a little bit bigger and then make a request to those ones and give a chance for the inner feeling one to feel the situation that we're in and to make a movement, which is not, or it doesn't always present itself straightforwardly in language, but that inner felt sense is often deeply in tune to what is called for and what is right. I don't mean in some absolute way, like what's right for this moment and this place and this time, in a much more holistic way than any of the voices in me that are absolutely certain that I'm wrong and they're wrong and you're wrong and I've got to, and that inner feeling something in us is also really, really attuned, often, if we'll let it, to healthy kind of power between us. So it will stand up in us for what is called to stand up for. So we're not talking here about something that will just lie down in the face of that which needs to be addressed. You know, you talked about what we need to reject sometimes. There are many things in the world we actually need to reject and say no to that, no to speaking in this way or treating one another in this way. That's something in us really knows this. And so I think it's really important to cultivate it in ourselves, which means attuning to our own bodies, and it means slowing things down sometimes. It means not always being caught in the super fast fray of things, so that we can find the movement in us that will generate what there is to say and what there is to do and how there is to take care of one another and how there is to take care of the whole of things. So it's something that is both strong and soft. It's both principled and flexible. It's many, many things simultaneously. I was thinking then about what you were saying about the way that we project all of this stuff onto one another, that if you're talking to me in a harsh way, it might be your harshness, not mine. And so then I've got to do the work of, as you said, as I listened to you, of seeing if I cannot get my own inner harshness caught up in the harshness that might be coming from someone else, because it might be not mine, but it will probably trigger mine and tangle mine up. So it's a really valuable skill to be able to soften and center in the midst of our relational complexity. So I'm really with you on that. And then I had this other thought, which is how helpful it is to be able to be ones for one another that will help one another do this that Eugene's inviting us into. So I know that when I've been in a wrangle, and you've often been someone who's spoken to me in this way, and there are other people who know to speak to me in this way, when the people who care about us can help us get into the soft inner feeling person and respond from there, when we will address that in one another, in other words, notice when we've got tangled up in all these harsh critical things that go on, and instead invite one another to be able to say to you, Lizzie, what if we slow down together a bit, what does this really feel like? Like, what's here with your bodily felt sense? To ask that of one another is actually to practice with ourselves, and then to ask it one another is to go underneath the shallow, rigid entanglement that we get into, particularly with our frightened, harsh, judging, critical parts that are at play between us all the time. So, I suppose what I'm advocating for is a way of listening and talking to one another that listens beyond these things that you've been talking about and listens to the unfolding wholeness that is in the heart of us. And that's the thing that we so often miss, particularly when we are under pressure or feeling afraid or feeling overstretched or caught in our own self-criticism.
You know, this, as you're talking, Justin, this kind of phrase that feels like it's around in the world suddenly makes a bit more sense to me about the strength in vulnerability. And this feeling that, as you were speaking, I was just tuning into how much strength there is between us, how strong we are when we know this of one another. So that when we can bring our felt sense forward, for example, it's not our defenses, it's not our preferences, it's not our will, it's not our having things happen, you know, it's not all of those worldly things, it's something essential about us. And when we get to connect in that and see that for one another and see beyond the critical stick beating parts to this softer place, it suddenly feels like that is where all of our strength comes from. Like, I know that in practical terms, like the more related I feel, the more warm I feel with you, the more cool stuff we can do together and get it done quickly and brilliantly and shiningly and excellently. And the less of that there is, the scratchier it is and the harder it is. And so I'm feeling this renewed sense of what that strength actually means in real terms, to be someone, to be for each other, this slower, even, I mean, I don't mean all the time either, you know, it's just, we have to have enough of this to be able to get on, to be able to move forward, to be able to bring about what we want to bring about in the world, to feel like we're in relationship. My bodily felt senseness is in relationship with your bodily felt senseness, will bring strength to us. It will bring wholeness to us. It will bring robust resilience to us, because to keep returning there if we need it after having identified it will be a big gift between us. And if we can be people in the world who see this, feel this, sense this in ourselves and others, very different things get to happen. I would say more excellence gets brought into the world, more brilliance and doing things in a very good way that really, really meets people and really has things get done properly and well and thoroughly and with heart and wholeheartedness. So I'm feeling the kind of underbelly of what's going on all the time in practical situations. And where this is strong, really great things happen in the world.
It's like the way I'm taking what you're saying, Lizzie, is it's like underneath our shallow interpretations of one another and our reactivity, there's something very deep that is knows the wholeness of things and the completeness of things, and also responds to the richness of things rather than the shallowness of things. And it's like the deep, if I can find the deep in me and speak to the deep in you and listen to the deep in you, and which I also think is the same as the life in you and the life in me, and I also think it's the same as the divine in you and the divine in me. They're all the same thing. That the whole, there's something that can hold all of it. We've got a much better chance of meeting one another with care, and also for saying the things and hearing the things that really need to be said, of saying yes and no to one another. We live in a culture that has privileged a kind of critical analysis over the feeling of the wholeness of things, which I was very often felt in our bodies, and which has also privileged pace over depth, and which has also privileged control over meeting.
Flexibility.
Yeah, or meeting one another, and has also privileged having the right answer over being uncertain, and strength over vulnerability. So that's Eugene's invitation to us. And I think also as a place to end, it's also from the principle of this conversation, is that at its best, this long conversation, Lizzie, arises from exactly the place in each of us that Gendlin's talking about. That's what allows an unplanned conversation to unfold in this way. So it feels to me like we've been practicing this, speaking from this, for 401 episodes, and maybe inviting everyone around us to do the same.
Yeah.
So it's time for us to end our 401st week. And I want to say thank you to you, Lizzie, always, for when you speak, the place that you speak from opens up so much in me. It's always a surprise, and some new freshness gets called for because of how you're able to respond and the depth and breadth and care and wisdom with which you respond. So thank you for being that one in this conversation and in my life as well. Thank you to everyone, to all of you who are with us. And I want to really strongly recommend Eugene Gendlin's very, very little, very, very brilliant book, Focusing. And we are going to end, and we will be back this time next week.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you,
bye,
Justin.
Everyone.